Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stenny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning again in our Bible to Psalm number 86. And we're going to build upon verse number 6, where the Bible said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And we're looking at this verse. I pointed out there's the plea, "Wilt thou not revive us?" There is the people, God's people, and there is the purpose, that thy people may rejoice in thee. On the broadcast yesterday, I pointed out to you the structure of this psalm reveals the position of many of the Lord's people in our day. In the first three verses, the writer looks backward six times at great things God has done in the past. Notice in verse number 1, "Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquities of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. And thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger." Again, I emphasize, the writer is looking backward on six great blessings of God that God did for them back in the past. Then when you come to the last three verses, there are six times that he looks forward to the future and uses the word "shall." In verse number 11, "Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven." Verse 12, "Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase." Verse 13, "Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps." I pointed out to you that the first three verses, he points backward six times at great things that God has done. And then in verse number 11, 12, and 13, he points forward to six great things that God shall do out in the future. And that is a position that many of God's people are living in today. They have to look backward in what was called the good old days, or they look forward to the sweet by and by to know anything of the blessings of the Lord. But I want to say to you, friend, we're not living in the good old days of yesteryear, if you want to call them good days. And we're not living in the future yet. Lord willing, we will be there with him one day after a while, but we're not there yet. And so the statement I want to make is this: we need something for the nasty now and now. Not the sweet by and by, not the good old days, but something to help us in these days that we are living in. You say, "Preacher, what is that?" It is revival. And friend, we're the state in our nation that it's revival or perish. If this nation does not turn back to God, then, friend, we're gone. As far as the freedom and liberties and the independence that we've known throughout our lifetime and even before we arrived on planet Earth. But I want to say to you, friend, God is still on the throne. God is still God, and God is still able. And when God's people will come to God in the right manner, then God will send revival. You remember the Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall do four things. Number one, humble themselves. Number two, pray. Number three, seek my face. And then number four, he said, turn from their wicked ways. God said, then I'll do three things. Number one, I will hear from heaven. Number two, I will forgive their sins. And number three, I will heal their land. So the writer of the Psalms here cries out in verse number six, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And then in verse number seven, he said, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. But I want to come back and deal, as the Holy Spirit leads us, on two or three thoughts about revival. First of all, I want to talk to you about the need of revival and give you some areas that manifest the need of revival. Then number two, I want to talk about the nature of revival that we need. And thirdly, I want to deal with the necessity for revival. If we're going to enjoy the blessings of the Lord upon our children and upon our country and upon our churches, and I hope you'll pray and let God speak to your heart and pray that God will speak to all of us and God will do something through the preaching of the Word of God to work the work of revival in each of our lives. Let me begin by dealing first with the need of revival. I ask the question, you might ask it yourself. I really don't think any of us are this blind, but someone might ask the question and say, preacher, do you think we need a revival? I want to say to you, friend, it's beyond that. It's not that I think we need revival. I want to tell you, we have got to have revival or we're ruined. It is turn or burn. It's revival or ruination. It's repent or perish for our nation here that you and I have enjoyed all of these years. I want to mention, first of all, the need of revival is manifest in our culture. Second, I want to mention the fact that the need of revival is manifest in our country. And thirdly, the need of revival is manifest in our churches. And we'll deal with these as the Holy Spirit develops them for us, day after day, the Lord willing. Notice, if you will, first of all, the need of revival is manifest in the culture that you and I live in. Now, friend, let me take just a moment and say very plainly, if you are over 60 years old, then the culture that you live in today is completely different than the culture that you grew up in when you was a small boy or small girl. It is a total different culture. Sin has taken us so far down the road from where we were when I was a young boy that it's unbelievable how our culture, I'm not talking about in some heathen country, I'm talking about right here in America, has changed during my lifetime. Let me mention five things, then I'll come back and deal with them as the Lord directs us. But let me say to you, first of all, and I'm just starting, you could start anywhere, but the continual increase of the usage of drugs in our culture should say one thing to every saved person and really every reasonable person who knows anything about God, the church, and revival. It ought to cry out loud in our ears that we as a culture need revival to save us from this drug-addicted generation that we are living in. Oh, I do not have to spend time on this, but many, probably who even listen to my voice right now, some of your family members, some of your friends, or some of your loved ones has been hooked on drugs or is hooked on drugs. And they do not have the power within themselves to resist, to say no, and to get off the drugs that they're on. And friend, with all of the new things that are being invented in the drug world, it just keeps reaching out to our young people and even younger people, not only in the college, but in the high school, and not only in the high school, but the middle school. Friend, it's becoming a problem. And I want to tell you, there's one thing that'll get young people off of drugs and take them out of their life, and that's get them saved by the grace of God, filled with the Spirit of God. Teach them the Bible and its authority to their life, and then teach them to pray and commune with God, and God will get them off of it. They will not have to just reform. He'll reborn them and make them a new creature. So there is the increase of the usage of drugs in our culture that says we need a revival. Let me name these others. There's a continual increase of the drinking and drunkenness of our generation. And then number three, there is a continual increase of the ungodly dress styles of our generation and the promotion of nakedness and nudeness in our society. Number four, there is a continual increase in the involvement, and can I use the word craze, of sports in our society. And number four, there's a continual increase of permissiveness. All of these cry out from our culture, we need revival. Well, my time is gone. We'll look at these again tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, honor your word, help your people, and save the lost, I pray, and send revival. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Once again, it's anniversary month here at the Harvest Time broadcast. We began broadcasting on the first Monday in November of 2002. The Lord's allowed us to finish 6 years, and we're now broadcast over 80 times a day. I do want to thank you that's prayed for us and stood by us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. I remind you that without you, we would not be able to do the job that we're doing. Let me encourage you on this anniversary month that you take time out, write to us, and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.
Again.